بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of hadith number 23 in the collection of Imam al-Nawawi. We have reached the point where the discussion was focused upon the Quran, and the saying that the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the saying of the Salaf and Ahlul Sunnah. As to the people of innovation, they altered and they changed, and they said this Quran is not the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather it is, or it denotes the speech, because to them the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the meaning established with himself, is the meaning established with himself. As to the voice and letters, these are not, according to them, from the speech of Allah, but rather these denote on the speech of Allah. According to such argument, the Quran in our hands is created, quote unquote. Allah created it to express what is with himself. This is the saying of the Ash'ari. This is the saying of the Ash'arite deviant sect. On the other hand, the Mu'tazilites argue that the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal is not the meaning established with himself. Rather, the speech of Allah is makhluq, is created, like the rest of the creation. To them, Allah, the Most High, يخلق الله كلاما, Allah creates words and adds them to himself by way of honoring. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added to himself the she camel when he said about it, Naqatullah, Naqatullah, Allah's she camel. Also as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds to himself the masajid, the mosques, when he says, Biyutullah, the houses of Allah. And as he also added to himself the sacred house in Mecca. The difference between the Ash'arites and the Mu'tazilites, is there really any difference? In fact, the learned scholars say that there is no difference actually. Rather, the Mu'tazilites are better than the Ash'arites in this respect. Why? Because the Mu'tazilites say that this Quran in our hands is the word of Allah, but it is created. The Ash'arites, they say, this expresses, denotes the word of Allah, but it is not really the word of Allah. However, both are in agreement that what's in between the covers of the Mus'haf, the copies of the Quran we have in our hands, is, quote, created, end of quote. But the Mu'tazilites say, this is the speech of Allah. Allah created it as he created the heavens and the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars. And he added that to himself, an addition of honor. An addition of honor, just as he added to himself the masajid, the mosques to himself, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah in chapter 2 verse 114, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ, added, conjugated in the context here. They say this is an addition of Amr, a relation of Amr. And who is more unjust than those who forbid that Allah's name be glorified and mentioned much in, look at this, Allah's mosques. Okay, so as also they said in the case where Allah adds the Kaaba to himself by saying in Surah Al-Hajj 22:26, وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ, وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ, and purify my house, and purify my house. So he added the house, meaning the house, the Kaaba, to himself, and also as he added in another statement in the Quran, the she-camel, by saying نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقِيَهَا, as in Surah Al-Shams, verse 13. 91:13. نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ, نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ, Allah's she-camel. This is an addition of honoring. And the Ash'arites, on the other hand, say that Allah's speech is the meaning established with himself, but he created voices, which were heard by Jibreel, expressing that which is with him, denoting that which is with him. So accordingly, the Quran, according with the madhab of the Ash'ari, with the Ash'arites concept, is makhluq, is created. But they said it is, it denotes or expresses the speech of Allah. The Mu'tazila said it is the speech of Allah, but it is created. However, we say, meaning Ahl Sunnah, the way the people on the way of the righteous predecessors, هذا القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق. This Quran is the true speech of Allah, the uncreated true speech of Allah. It is not this expressed, or it is not this the meaning, or what is denoted, reflecting the meaning which is established with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the meaning established with Allah is knowledge. It's not speech. It is knowledge, it's not speech. Therefore, this Quran, which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it as a proof for us, is the true speech of Allah. It is the true speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spoke it subhanahu wa ta'ala truly and really, and Jibreel heard it truly from him, and he brought it down upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preserved it and understood it. Even sometimes he used to hasten or haste in its reciting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonished him not to do so, as in Surah Al-Qiyamah, chapter 75, verses 16-17. قال الله تعالى لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه. Do not haste, move not your tongue concerning the Quran, to make haste therewith. It is for us to collect it and to give you the ability to recite. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it binding upon himself to collect the Quran and as in Surah Al-Qiyamah, the same chapter 17:75, but verse 18. Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ. And when we have recited it to you, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ, meaning to you, O Muhammad, through Jibreel alayhi salam, here Allah added this recital to himself. He said, and when we have recited it to you, Allah added the recitation of Jibreel to himself, because Gabriel is a messenger. His messenger, Allah's messenger to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he added the action of Jibreel to himself, meaning Allah added it to himself, because he, Allah, is the one who sent Jibreel, Gabriel alayhi salam. Then Allah also took it upon himself to make it clear, as in the same surah, verse 19. قال الله تعالى ثم إن علينا بيانه ثم إن علينا بيانه. And this is, then Allah says, then it is for us, Allah, to make it clear to you. To make it clear to you. And this is, Allah took it upon himself, binding, to collect the Quran, and also for Jibreel to recite it to the Prophet ﷺ. Not only that, but also to make it clear. Make it clear. ثم إن علينا بيانه. Then it is for us to make it clear to you, O Muhammad. This Quran, this noble Quran, is glorious and of great merits. And from those who wrote concerning the merits of the noble Quran is Al-Imam Ibn Kathir رحمه الله تعالى. Imam Ibn Kathir رحمه الله. He wrote a treatise which he called it Fada'il al-Quran, the merits of the Quran, and it is useful. It is a useful treaty. Then the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, Al-Quran hujjatun lak aw alayk. Then the Quran is either a proof for you or against you. It is a proof for you if you establish what is obligated therein. And this is the nasiha. This is the nasiha. This is the advice to Allah's book, as was discussed earlier in the collections of the Nawawi hadiths. In the hadith, Ad-Din al-Nasiha. Ad-Din al-Nasiha. The religion is advice, and from the advice was the advice to his book, and that was discussed to mean that this is to carry on, execute what is obligated in the Quran. And the Quran, if we make this advice sincerely, then it becomes a proof for us. And if we don't, then it becomes a proof against us. For example, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاءِ in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:43, and establish the prayers and offer the zakah, the alms, the due alms. So take it as an example. Now, here is a person who does not establish the salah. Then the Quran now is evidence or a proof against him. And another person who establishes the salah, then it becomes a proof for him, an evidence for him. Also, another person who did not give the zakah, or does not give the zakah, the alms, then the Quran is evidence or proof against him. While another person, if he gives the zakah, then the Quran is evidence for him. And in this, on this occasion, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, I would like to remind myself and you concerning a matter which is important, and that is, we all make wudu, the ablution, if we intend to make the salah. When we are about to make the salah, for example, we make the wudu. However, most of the times, the person wants to establish the condition of worship only. And this is fine, this is okay. And it will meet the objectives. It will fulfill what is required. But there is something even higher in this, and more perfect than this. And that is, if you intend to make the wudu, and if you make the wudu rather, istash'ar, then feel, أنك ممتثل لأمر الله, that you are in compliance with the command of Allah. قال الله تعالى in this respect in 5:6 سورة المائدة, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. Therefore, you have now to feel that you are in compliance, you are complying with the command of Allah. Why? In order that you manifest the meaning of worship. Oh, you believe, when you intend to offer salah, wash your faces and your hands up to the elbows, rub by passing wet hands over your heads, and wash your feet up to the ankles. This is wudu. Secondly, when you make wudu also, try to feel that you are following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ تَوَضَّأَ نَحْوَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكْعَتَيْنِ, whoever makes the wudu like mine, and then he performs two rak'ah. Therefore, here we have two things. Al-ikhlasu, sincerity, and following, al-mutaba'ah. ثالثاً, anticipate the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this wudu that you are doing. Because this wudu expiates sins. يكفر الخطايا, and the khataya, the sins will drop off with the last drop from the drops of water after finishing the hand, and as such with the rest of the parts. These three great meanings we most of the times are negligent and heedless concerning this. Similarly, if you want to make the salah, and you stand up for the salah, to establish the salah, feel the command of Allah when Allah commands you, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the prayers. Then also, feel that you are following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, pray as you had seen me praying. Then also, anticipate the reward, because this salah is an expiation to the period between it and the other salah, and so forth. This we miss a lot, and that's why you see, and we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat us by His kindness and forgiveness. We don't really try to attain these effects of worship as they should be. And we do still affirm that this salah forbids and prevents from committing al-fahsha and munkar, sins of all kinds, and illegal sexual intercourse and so forth. ولكن من من الناس, who amongst us can be people, if they pray such that then the salah changes his thoughts and prevents him from committing this or these evils? By Allah, they are few, because the intended objectives and the meanings behind the worship are missing. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu an-nasi yaghdu," meaning they leave early in the morning, and this is by way of setting parables and similitudes. فَبَائِعُ النَّفْسَهُ, then you will find from them those who vendor their souls. Meaning, he charges it with action. Everyone starts his day and is a vendor of his soul. So if he charges himself with action, therefore he will render himself, or he will vendor his soul, and the people concerning this vendoring are of two types: either freeing it or bringing about its ruin. will be freeing it if he complies with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah 2207, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ, meaning he renders his soul seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the one who frees himself from the fire of mankind, is he who would sell himself seeking the pleasure of Allah. And the one who brings about its ruin is the one who does not comply with Allah's commands and thus spends his life in loss. So this brings destruction upon himself. And so that's why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned these types here, because the act, after mentioning the Quran that it is a proof for you or against you, he mentioned also the actions, because it can be for us and against us. It is for us if it is righteous, and it is the opposite if it is not. And from this we know that man, it's clear that when the Prophet ﷺ says everyone starts his day and is a vendor of his soul, it becomes clear that لابد أن يعمل إما خيرا وإما شرا. Man is, I mean, it's a must that he is either going to do good or do evil. Inshallah ta'ala, when we return, we'll go over the benefits of this hadith. We'll stop here inshallah ta'ala, and we'll continue in a very short while inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of this hadith, and we have reached the hadith 23 from the collection of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. And from the benefits of this hadith are as follows. Number one, the incitement to be pure. The physical purity, the tangible and the intangible. And this is deduced from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, At-tuhuru shatru al-iman, that purity is half of faith. Secondly, that al-imanu yataba'ad, that iman, faith, is partitionable, meaning ba'duhu fi'lun وَبَعْضُهُ تَرْكٌ. Some of it is action, doing, bringing about, and some of it is leaving and abandoning and relinquishing and so forth. The third benefit, the merit of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّهَا تَمْلَأُ الْمِيزَانِ, it fills the scale. And the fourth benefit is إثبات الميزان, affirming the scale. والميزان جاء ذكره, it is mentioned in the Quran several times, or yes, many times, in the plural form and also in the singular form. Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, as in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:47. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and we shall set up balances of justice on the day of resurrection. Then none will be dealt with unjustly in anything. And if there be the weight of a mustard seed, we will bring it. And sufficient are we the reckoners. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Qari'ah, verse 6. In 101, verse 6, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ, than as for him whose balance of good deeds will be heavy. So it comes in the plural form, and also it comes in the singular form. And also it is mentioned explicitly in the Sunnah, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, where he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, كَلِمَتَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ, two words, light on the tongue, ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ, heavy on the scale, حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ, beloved to Ar-Rahman, Allah, the most beneficent. Subhanallah, these words are Subhanallah, meaning far Allah is removed above all imperfection, wa bihamdihi, and by his praise, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, and praise be to him, Subhanallah al-Azim, Subhanallah al-Azim, glorified be Allah the Great, al-Azim. Now, this scale, is it a physical or is it tangible or intangible? The Mu'tazilites say it is ma'nawi, intangible, and it denotes the establishment of justice. It denotes the establishment of justice. However, the correct matter is that it is hissi, it is physical. لَهُ كَفَّتَانْ وَلَهُ لِسَانْ, it has two يعني, scales, and لَهُ لِسَانْ, it has a tongue. تُوزَنُ بِهِ الْأَعْمَالُ الصَّالِحَةِ, the righteous deeds as well as the evil deeds are weighed on this scale. Now here comes a problem. كَيْفَ يُوزَنُ الْعَمَلْ وَهُوَ لَيْسَ بِجِسْمٍ, how does the, or how is it that the actions can be weighed when they are not bodies? And similarly, how about the praise filling the mizan, filling the scale, while the praise is not caught a body, laysa bijism? The answer to this is easy, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to make the deeds in body forms, and also to make the intangible as well in body forms, because He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is able to do all things. Is it not affirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he told us that Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Noble Quran, and Surah Al-Imran, and chapter 3, تأتيان يوم القيامة كأنهما غمامتان أو غيايتان تضلان صاحبهما, that the two surahs come on the day of resurrection, will come on the day of resurrection as two clouds or two shades or two flocks of birds in ranks, pleading for those who recite them, and they are actions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. And also, isn't it affirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that أَنَّ الْمَوْتِ, that death will be brought on the day of resurrection in the form of a ram, in the shape of a ram, in this hadith, on the day of resurrection, death will be brought forward in the shape of a black and white ram. Then a call maker will call and say, يا أهل الجنة, O people of paradise. Thereupon they will stretch their necks and look carefully, فيقالوا, and it will be said. هل تعرفون هذا؟ Do you know this? They will say نعم. They will say yes. هذا الموت, this is death. Then it will be said, the call maker will call and say, يا أهل النار, O people of hell. And thereupon they will stretch their necks and look carefully. And it will be said, do you know this? They will say, نعم هذا الموت. They will say, yes, this is death. Then it will be slaughtered بين الجنة والنار. Then it will be slaughtered between hell and paradise, and it will be said then, يا أهل الجنة خلود ولا موت. O people of paradise, eternity. Noisy. A noisy one. يا أهل الجنة, O people of paradise, eternity for you and no death. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. Ya Ahl al-Jannah, eternity for you and no death. And it will be said, Ya Ahl al-Nar, khuludun wala maut, eternity and no death. And we seek refuge in Allah from this. Wal-mautu ma'nawi, al-maut ma'nawi, and death is intangible. فالمهم, what is important here is to say that إن الميزان يوم القيامة حسي حقيقي, is true and physical, that the scale on the day of resurrection is true and physical, weighing the actions of mankind. فمن ثقلت موازينه, then those whose balance of the scale are heavy, they are the successful ones, and the opposite for those who are losers. The fifth benefit, the merit and the virtue of combining between the two statements. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, Subhanallah walhamdulillah tamla'ani ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard, that the Subhanallah and walhamdulillah fill that with between the heavens and the earth. Because in combining them, there is a combination between negating the defects and imperfections and affirming the perfection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in subhanallah, it means there is negation of all forms of imperfection, because it declares that Allah is far above any imperfection. And in alhamdulillah, and in the saying alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, is the affirmation of al-kamalillah, perfection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sixth benefit, أن الصلاة نور, that the salah is a light. And from this we can understand also other matters, incitement to make more of salah, abundant salah. Here however we have a case where many of the of those who pray, and many of the prayers done by a single person, are not felt that they are light. So how can we answer this? The answer we say, إِنَّ كَلَامَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَقٌّ, that the speech and the statements of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is truth. No problem with that. However, the lack of enlightenment of the heart, is it due to a cause, a defect in the cause, or a presence of an impediment, existence of an impediment or a defect in the cause or in the means? Meaning that anyone who mixes show off with his prayers, then this is here خَلَلٌ فِي السَّبَبْ, a defect in the cause. Why? Because he is not sincere. He is not sincere. On the other hand, the one who prays but his heart is flying right and left, here then there is an impediment preventing the perfection of salah, and therefore what is anticipated does not come true, and take it as a rule. Whatever the shari', the legislator, assigns a ruling concerning a certain matter or any matter, and it does not take place, then know that there is an impediment or there is a defect in the cause. We know this for sure because Allah's word is true, and Allah's messenger's word is also true. 7. The urging and incitement to give alms, because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, As-sadaqatu burhan, charity is a proof. And also from this we know that giving that which is beloved is a proof on the truthfulness of the one who gives. And what is beloved that is given here in the charity is the wealth, the 9th benefit, the incitement to be patient, and that it is an illumination shining. So it is an illumination and a light, although there may be some kind of heat therein, and we have discussed that earlier. Number 10, the carrier of the Quran is either a winner or a loser, and there is no in between, there is no neutrality in this matter, either for you or against you. And from this we have a benefit. There is a benefit from this which can be deducted from this. This benefit is that the person checks himself. Is he acting in accordance with the Quran, and thus it is a hujjah lahu, an evidence for him, or not? And thus becoming an evidence against him or a proof against him. The 11th point, Azamat al-Quran, the greatness of the noble Quran, and that it is either for you or against you. 12, making clear the conditions of people as they go out in the morning selling themselves, some selling that in good work, and some in evil work, and thus ruining himself. The 13th and last benefit is that the true freedom is establishing the obedience to Allah, and not giving oneself its total liberty to do everything it desires independently from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set as a code for life. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله في النونية. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله mentioned in his poem, the famous poem which is called النونية, he said, هربوا من الرق الذي خلقوا له وبلوا برق النفس والشيطان. They ran away from the slavery for which they were created. The slavery for which we are created is to worship Allah alone, obey Him. وبلوا, and they were tested and tried, برق النفس والشيطان, by slavery to the self, desires, and shaitan. So anyone who runs away from the worship of Allah, then he will be trapped in slavery to shaitan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon Imam al-Nawawi and on our Shaykh rahimahullah for his explanation, and to make of this a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This brings the end of the explanation of hadith number 23.